She has the flu.
All right, let's jump in. We are at home stretch. Perek Chaf Pasuk Lamed Hey. Last piece of the story.
352.
Last week we looked at the confrontation between Shaul and Yonatan. Well, Yonatan tries to defend David, although sort of explaining to Shaul where David is, and when Shaul gets angry, Yonatan kind of just blurts out four words, "Lama yumat me'asa," to which Shaul takes the spear, thrusts it at him, or threatens him with it, clearly indicating that that Shaul has, in a sense, lost all proportion and or perspective, and Yonatan angrily gets up from the table. Distraught on that second day of Rosh Chodesh. Pasuk Lamed Hey. Vayhi Vaboker. The morning came. So the morning is, of course, the moment of the critical moment where Yonatan has to now convey this message to David. And if you remember, they had a whole plan set out. They had a whole code established for this purpose, just so that they wouldn't have to meet in person, but that Yonatan could convey the message via arrows or via code. Vayetze Yonatan asadeh l'moed David v'na'ar katon imo. Yonatan went out to the field to the appointed time or place, moed. Can be an appointed time, can also be an appointed place, together with the Na'ar. Why does he have to go with the Na'ar? So on the one hand, he needs to go with the Na'ar because he's going to shoot the arrow, the Na'ar is going to go get it. So it's the message to the Na'ar that David is going to hear. But there's another issue with the Na'ar. I don't think Yonatan can really go anywhere alone. First of all, he's the crown prince, so I don't think he goes anywhere alone. Mm-hmm. And second of all, especially now that very publicly Shaul has defended, especially now that Yonatan has defended David Shaul in public, mm-hmm. Right. And Shaul has made a public declaration of David being the enemy and Ben Mavet, the confrontation between Shaul and Yonatan over David has now become a very public affair. Yonatan cannot afford, unless he wants to commit high treason and draw the line and run with David. I mean, this is the critical moment where he has to decide, is he going with David or is he going to enable David to escape but return to his father? If he's going to enable David to escape and return to his father, then he cannot be seen engaging with, meeting with David. That's clear. So part of this, the role of this Na'ar is, to some extent, is an alibi. Whatever message he's going to give to David, it has to be able to be one which, if Shaul questions, the only other witness who is there can say,
right?
Nothing happened. So it's very important that he go with this Na'ar. The role of this Na'ar will continue to be our subject. Vayomer le'Na'aro. He says to the Na'ar, Rutz mitzana tachitzim asher anochi moreh. Go, run, go find the arrows that I am going to shoot. How many arrows did David and Yonatan agree upon initially that they would throw? Three. Hana'ar rats, v'hu yara hachetzi l'ha'aviro. The Na'ar ran, and Yonatan shot the arrow as discussed, shot the arrow, passed him, l'ha'aviro. V'yavo ha'na'ar ad makom ha'chetzi. The Na'ar came to the place of the chetzi means chetzi is not
it's not half.
Right. Chetzi comes from the word chetz. Okay. To the place of the arrow. V'yavo ha'na'ar ad makom ha'chetzi. Asher Yira Yonatan. He came to the place to the arrow where Yonatan had shot. Vayikra Yonatan acharei ha'na'ar v'yomer. Yonatan called after the na'ar, saying, "Halo achetzi mimcha v'hala." The arrow is from you yonder. Right. That's exactly the code. Vayikra Yonatan acharei ha'na'ar. Yonatan called to the Na'ar and said to him, Mehera, chusha, al tamod, quickly, go, run, don't stand by, go get it quickly. Vayilaket Na'ar Yonatan atachetzi vayavo al Adonav. The Na'ar Yonatan went and collected the arrow, although here, if you look at the Ketiv and Kri, the Ketiv, the letters read the word chetzi like the other instances, but the Kri read the word Hachitzim. So some discussion as to whether or not he threw one arrow or three arrows. We're assuming he threw three arrows because that was a point of time. Yonatan went, told the Na'ar to go and collect them. The arrow could be a reference to the three arrows together. It's not clear whether he threw three arrows, shot three arrows at once or one after the other. But in all cases, the Na'ar goes, collects the arrows, brings them back to Sha'ul. V'na'ar lo yada ma'uma. Message delivered, and the Na'ar knew nothing. Ach Yonatan v'David yadu et ha'davar. Yonatan and David, they understood what was involved. They understood the message very clearly. The Na'ar, on the other hand, did not, would not be expected to. Na'ar was not in the inn. Was not in the code. Yonatan et kelav el ha'na'ar asher lo. Yonatan gave his bow and arrow, his kelim, to the na'ar. Vayomer lo lech ve'ayir. Go and take these inside. Go and bring these back to the city. They were out in the shooting range. So he hands his bow and arrow to the na'ar and he says, "Okay, go." Ha'na'ar ba. The Na'ar came, meaning means went back to the city. V'David kam me'etzel ha'negev v'yipol la'apav arta v'yishtachu shalosh pa'mi. David arose out of his hiding place near the Eben Ha'etzel, came, bowed down to Yonatan three times. V'yishku ish et re'eyu. They hugged, they gave each other a kiss. They cried ad David igdil, until David cried more. Come back to that phrase later. Vayomer Yonatan to David, lech l'shalom. Yonatan said to David, "Go in peace." Hashenishbanu shneinu anachnu b'shem Hashem lemor Hashem yiyeh b'niu v'necha u'ven zari u'ven zaracha ad olam. We took an oath together that God will testify to the relationship between us, God will be between you and me, and between our children and our children's children for eternity. Brit shalom between us, go in peace, and when you become king, remember me well. Right. That's the unwritten part of that declaration. And of course, the obvious question that we have asked several times, but the obvious question that is the subject of today's shir is,
why didn't Yonatan go with him?
Well, no, that was, that we have asked. We don't really have a clear answer to that question. But just in terms of the story here, the fundamental question that we, every time we read this as Avtorah, somebody asks the same question. If you're really going to go through all of the exercise of the arrows,
why do the publican pray?
Why meet? Right. Why risk the meeting? And if you're going to have the meeting anyway, then why?
What do you need the arrows?
Do you need the arrows? A totally redundant story. If the whole purpose of the arrow in the code was that they should never have to meet,
that was in private, really.
And right, but if the whole purpose of the code was that they should never have to meet, why does Yonatan then send the Na'ar back to the city and risk everything he tried to avoid, which is a public meeting with David in the field? And if he's going to do that, what does he need the whole thing for? That's the question. And that's a question the Mefarshim struggle with. If you have the source page, I'll get you to pull it out. If not, there's extra copies here.
We all turn them back.
You all turn them back.
We turn
okay.
them back in.
Bring them back.
Only Sonny should have them.
Yeah.
If there's an extra one, bring it back. I'll take the extra. If not, then I'll manage.
We can share.
No, I just need the numbers. Okay, source 7. The Rabbah. And this question is asked by all the Mefarshim, and in the end, they all offer, I would say, similar approaches. We'll buy it with a qualification, modify it a little bit. But the Rabbah says the following: Vu yara chetzi lahaviro, Yonatan shot the arrow past where the Na'ar was standing, because that was the plan. So you could say to him, the arrow is Mimcha Vahala, as a code to David to go, right? To go yonder. Ritzono lomar, she Yonatan yerach chetzo b'chozek. Yonatan shot the arrow with strong, right? With great, more energy than necessary. Keneged makom achar yoter rachok mi'aevin ahu. Right, further than the original, than the location of the target, so that the arrow would go further. This Evan Ezel was the place where the target was. Yonatan shot the arrow past it. The arrow went past that location. Yonatan tried to make sure that the arrow would, I'm sure Crown Prince of Israel at the time is going to be a warrior, a qualified marksman when it comes to shooting a bow and arrow, and knows how to shoot a target so that it goes where he wants it to go. Kamo she kadam kedei shemar lenar halo achetzi mimcha vahala. ויבין דוד כי שכחו השם יתברך וימלט כאשר יוכל. Our point was this message that David should hear the words Mimcha v'hala, know that he should go, escape as he can. והנה, היה ירא יונתן שלא יוכל לדבר עמו פנים בפנים. The whole purpose of this ruse was because Yonatan was afraid that he would be unable to meet David face to face. That's why he needed this sign. Ki ulai yavo anashim basadeh, maybe people are going to walk by. It's a public field. V'lo yachal David latzit el Yonatan ledaber imo. David can't just walk out of hiding and meet Yonatan to speak to him. However, ach achar shera'a Yonatan shlo haya sham ki im hu v'na'aro, when Yonatan saw that he and his Na'ar were alone in the field, saw that there was nobody else there, shalach Na'aro la'ir, he sent the Na'ar back to the city. V'yirgish David ki en sham ish, and David also sensed there was nobody else there, v'lezeh shalach Yonatan Na'aro, and that's why he heard Yonatan sending the Na'ar back to the city. V'kam David me'amakom she'anistar bo, v'netan todah li'Yonatan. So David took an opportunity to emerge from his hiding place so that he could thank Yonatan for the information and for the guide, and they could embrace, and he could bow down to him 3 times, and all of that happened because the circumstances were...
They were alone.
Circumstances were such that they happened to be alone in the field. Unpredictable. Yonatan wasn't sure whether they would be alone in the field or not, and so he devises this whole issue with the arrows. In the end, turns out, Bimikre happened to be that they were alone. So David saw, heard Yonatan dismiss the Na'ar, realized that that might be something that could be an opportunity, emerges from his hiding, they embrace, they have a conversation, they cry, and David goes on his way, and everybody lives almost happily ever after. That, says the Rabbag, is the story.
Sense, but it's not very interesting.
Right. I took the words out of my mouth. It makes sense, but it's not very interesting. And I would
feel like something's missing.
Right. Why? Because in the we've used the analogy before. The newspaper prioritizes journalistic importance to a story by how many lines or column inches are devoted to a story. Right. How many column inches in this parak are devoted to this code of the arrows? It's repeated three times. All for naught because they happened to have been alone in the field and therefore they could meet and it could be and have an embrace. Could have just said they had devised a plan. In the end, they were alone.
Right.
They met. They embraced. And went on. Shalom Yisrael. David is hiding for 2 days for waiting for these arrows. And in the end, it happened to be that they were alone in the field and there was nobody there that they could just meet and have a conversation. And Shalom Yisrael. It's plausible, but as Sunny says, it's not very interesting. Right? There's a piece missing, like so much effort to, even if you take there's another tack that's taken in among some of the Mefarshim that there was such an emotional bond and there's such a powerful moment that they decided that they couldn't depart without even risking that last encounter. Because there was such an emotional connection and they wanted to say goodbye. But even that still begs the question, so why spend so much time about the arrows and the code and the shooting of the arrows, etc.? It's like pasuk after pasuk after. This one is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 psukim just to describe the story of the arrows. It had been earlier discussed back in pasuk Yud Chet, Yud Tet, Chaf, Chav Aleph, Chav Bet, Chav Gimel, another 7 psukim, 8 psukim. In a parak of 40 psukim, almost 12, 13 psukim devoted just to the arrows.
Because they didn't know they were going to be alone, so they had to make a plan.
Okay, so but the text doesn't have to spend all that time telling us. They made a plan, they got to the field, like Moshe Rabbeinu when he killed the Egyptian. Vayarki ain't ish. He turned here, he turned there, he saw there was nobody there. The Torah doesn't tell us how many, pages upon pages upon pages of the guards that he posted in all the different locations to make sure that there was nobody there and to yell out and to create a scheme so that Moshe would know if somebody was looking. Just, so tell us, they had arranged a plan. Went out into the field. They saw there was nobody there. They embraced. Shalom Yisrael. I'm being a little facetious, but there's something to the effect that the story of the arrows is there despite the fact that they meet in the end, and that can't be an accident. So there's another suggestion, and this I think may bring the two stories together, both the arrows and the meeting. And ultimately it comes back to the question of whether or not, or how many different possible outcomes could there have been to the meeting between Shaul and Yonatan? How many of those possible outcomes were predictable and were included in the plan of these arrows? So ostensibly, based on the code that we have been discussing between Yonatan and David, there are two possible outcomes that had been prearranged between David and Yonatan. Now, outcome one was that Mimcha Vehena, that everything's okay, and that you can come home. Outcome two is Mimcha Vahala, that the arrows go beyond you, in which case it's not such a good time to come home. Correct? Mm-hmm. In the language of Yonatan, go back to Pasuk Yud Gimel. Ko yaseh Hashem li Yonatan v'cho yasif ki yetiv el avi et hara'a alecha. If my father is leaning towards the position of harm towards you, the galiti etoznecha, I will tell you, v'shilachticha, I'll send you on your way, v'yalachta l'shalom, and you'll go in peace. V'yashem imach, God should be with you. Similarly, in Pasuk Chaf Aleph, V'hine eshlachat ha-nar lech u'mitzat ha-chitzim m'mamol ha-nar v'hine ha-chitzim m'mcha v'hine k'chenu v'avo ki shalom l'cha v'en davar chai Hashem. Pasuk Chabet, V'imko amar le'el, if I say thus to the young man, Hine ha-chitzim m'mcha v'hala lech ki shilach ha-cha Hashem, then go, because God has sent you on your way. And we'll maintain the secret between us.
I'm sorry, where was that?
That was Pasuk
21.
Chaf Aleph. Chaf Bet. Right? So two possibilities. One, that everything's fine. And the other is, everything's not so fine. Correct? Right. And that you need to run. You need to go. Lech kish lachacha Hashem, go, God has sent you. For how long was the expectation that David would have to go? From Yonatan's perspective. Think about Yonatan in this... Think about Yonatan in this parak. Think about his perspective on his father. Think about the conversation with David when they are arranging this plan before the confrontation between Shaul and Yonatan. What is the possible outcomes that Yonatan and David are discussing, assuming that everything doesn't go well, assuming that his father is angry, his father is not happy towards David? What is Yonatan suggesting to David? Lech kishilachacha Hashem, lech v'yashem imach, kasher yayim avi. What is Yonatan anticipating in that moment where he says to him, if the arrows are yonder, it means you should go yonder? What does that mean between to Yonatan? Go and don't come back. Where do you see the don't come back?
When you're talking about yonder, it's sounding
well,
like...
Well, go. In other words, either come home back, either everything's fine, or this is, right, my father's...
It could have been my father's really mad right now, don't come home now.
Right. Think about where Yonatan's perspective is in this whole story, up until this last week, right? Up until the confrontation with Shaul. Where is Yonatan's perspective? What is he anticipating? In a worst-case scenario, to Yonatan's mind.
He'll go away for a short amount of time, before the confrontation.
Go away, before this confrontation where Shaul tries to kill him.
Because Shaul sort of goes hot and cold.
And one of the things that we had suggested back in the beginning of the parak was that was part of what Yonatan was saying to David, is that, you know what, not so bad, we can control him, we understand that he has these fits of ruach ra'ah. Okay, we'll get him in a good moment.
He doesn't always want to kill you.
Right, exactly. So, okay, so he's not in a good mood today. Mincha v'ala, go. Come back next week. Come back. Go away until I call for you. It's not unprecedented.
Is it possible that he said, you'll go, and he really doesn't know what's going to happen?
That's true, but it's not unprecedented for him to say, listen, there's somebody who wants to kill you. Go, and when the anger is appeased, I'll call for you. Sound familiar?
That seems the most logical. I mean,
sound familiar?
Yeah.
Yes.
Where's it sound familiar from? Somebody wants to kill you. Go hide. When the anger is appeased, right, I'll call for you.
It's Laban.
It's exactly what Rivka says to Yaakov. Mm-hmm. Go. When Esav no longer wants to kill you, I'll call for you. Right? In Rivka's mind, how long does she expect Yaakov to be out in hiding in the house of Laban for?
Less than 14 years.
I suspect less than 20. It's actually more than 14 years. It's 14 years plus 14. Shem Ve'Evers 14. Levachal and Leah 14. Then another 6. And another 2 traveling, so you have a total of, right?
Like 30-something years.
Okay, figure it. I don't think she anticipated. She never sees Yaakov again. Because she dies before Yaakov comes back. In her wildest imagination, she wasn't anticipating that this would go on for 35 years. Go, hide there, find a wife there, in a couple of months, a year or two maybe, and Yaakov has forgotten about the brachos, and he's moved on with his life, I'll call you back. Anticipated, Rivka would anticipate that she'd be sending him away for the very last time she'd ever see him 36 years later. Not in her wildest dreams. When Yonatan says to David, I think it means the arrows are there beyond, so go, don't come back, palace isn't safe today. When will you come back? I don't know, we'll figure out a time. Next week, next month, a year from now. Go hide, go to Beit Shemesh, go to your family, go to somewhere. Just right now. Shaul is not in a good place. And I think ultimately those were the options that they discussed, and these were the options that were embedded into the code of these arrows. Hinea chitzi mimcha vahena, hinea chitzi mimcha vahala. So let me draw this out for you. I'm not the artist in my family. Clearly. Okay, I just stick people. So,
it's okay.
Okay, here's Yonatan. Here is Evan Ozo. And here is David hiding. And here is your target. Shooting range, target practice. Okay? Here's your target symbol. And here is Yonatan. Sorry, here is the Na'ar. Why do I put the Na'ar more or less parallel to David?
So he can see.
Partially, he can see and hear. But also part of that is the symbolic context of the code. If the arrows are Mimcha Vahena, that means that this area is safe for him to come. Mimcha Vahena, come home. Hena, this direction. If the arrows are Mimcha Vahala, then you go further. Hala. Keep going. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And so he shot the arrow Mimcha Vahala. Which is exactly what he intended to say to David, Imcha Baal. But that's not what happened. Because if you look at the text, it says,
wouldn't even the boy be surprised that Yonatan was such a bad shot?
He had a bad day. He did have a bad day. His father just threatened to kill him. So he had a bad day. What can I tell you? I don't think Yonatan was too concerned with his rank in the military, but maybe. But if you look at what it actually says, Yonatan said, "El moed David v'na'ar katanimo v'yomer l'na'ar alutz mitzana atachetzim asher anachim moreh." The Na'ar went and he shot the arrow past him. The arrow is from you further. And he said to him, quickly, go, don't stand. What is he pestering the Na'ar for? If you just press the arrow key, it'll stop buzzing.
Sorry.
If you kept the volume, it'll stop buzzing up and down. What is he pestering the Na'ar for? Mehera. Chusha, al tamod, quickly, go, don't stand. Just go and get the arrows and come home. pestering him for? Evidently, what I think happened was that in the last minute, Yonatan changed the plan. Why did he change the plan? Because his father got angrier than he thought. What Yonatan discovered that day at the second Rosh Chodesh feast was that Shaul is not overwhelmed by a ruach ra'ah. Shaul has lost all proportion, and he has decided that David is public enemy number one. And in a public declaration before the entire state, he has declared David guilty of treason. Mored b'machut. And declared anybody who helps David, guilty of treason.
And David doesn't know this, in other words, right?
It has never been so stated. This was a public declaration in which he says, it's either me or him. This is now before the entire world. Shaul has stated that as long as David lives, this kingdom shall not continue. And that anybody who assists him, you're either on my side or you're on his side. And if you assist him, then you are on his side and you are against me. And that it goes all the way up to the upper echelons, even up to the crown prince, to Yonatan himself. Which means that at this point, David has no safe harbor. He has nowhere to go in the kingdom where he can be safe, because Shaul has declared publicly that David, it's not about him throwing the arrow at him or running after the house of Shmuel to try to use his secret service to take David down or to pull him out of his bed in the middle of the night and have him executed. This is about a public declaration of treason. Says to Yonatan, you go bring him to me, you.
It is kind of compelling.
This is now a whole different ball game. This is a different ball game. This is not, the plan with David was that he would let him know that it's not safe to come back to the palace. Go hide in Beit Shemesh, go hide in Hebron, go hide in wherever you want to go hide. But in his wildest imagination, it never occurred to Shaul, to Yonatan, that Shaul would make a public declaration of treason against David, and now there's nowhere in the kingdom where David is safe. This has gone from bad to emergency. It's far worse than David even anticipated. Because all David says is that your father wants to kill me. Now Yonatan has to tell him that Shaul has set the entire military operation, army and kingdom against him. He's not safe anywhere.
And it puts Yonatan in a worse position also, doesn't it? Because he's saying that if anybody helps him, they're just as bad also.
Correct.
So.
And now Yonatan is left with an impossible choice. Because on the one hand, somehow he's got to convey to David this message. If Yonatan was caught between a rock and a hard place before, he's now placed in an impossible choice. His choices are either join David and commit treason publicly, or stay with Shaul and allow his Balbrit to essentially be captured and killed. Neither option is good. But somehow he's got to convey to David, not only does he have to run, but he must convey to David that he is not safe anywhere. And David understood the message, because David, when he runs, he doesn't run anywhere in the land of Israel. He runs to Chutz Laaretz. He runs to Eretz Plishtim. He runs to Moab. He's going to run away from places where, until he can gather around him enough supporters, Yonatan had been his greatest hope, but it was not going to materialize. Until he can gather around him enough supporters to defend him, he's not safe anywhere. That's the message Yonatan's got to convey to David, and how do you do it in a code that has been presented to him already with only two options. Based on that code, David could go to Beit Shemesh. David could go to Hebron. David could go to Be'er Sheva. David could go anywhere in Malchut, in Shevet Yehuda, and expect to be, to find safe harbor. It's not anymore. Not after a public declaration of reason. So Yonatan's got to meet David. There's no options left. He's got to find a way to meet him. But everything we said was that they can't do it. So what does he do? So if you remember at the beginning, we said how many arrows was the plan originally that Yonatan would throw? How many arrows was Yonatan planning to shoot?
Three.
The way the text reads, how many arrows does he shoot?
Sounds like one.
One. What happened?
Maybe it was a strong message just to throw than one.
Do what? Vayavoh enar ad makom hachetzi. Vahu yara hachetzi. Vayikra Yonatan achoy enar vayom alo hachetzi mimchaval. Al ta'amod. And then you have a real mystery, because in the end, Pasuk Lamed Chet, the Kri is, Vayelaket na Yonatan et ha chitzim. But the Ktiv is that he,
Lachetzim. But it says the Yonatan's lad gathered up arrows.
Correct, because that's the Kri. That's the read, the way it's read, chitzim. So how many did he throw? Did he throw one or did he throw three?
More than one.
Right?
Obviously.
And that's the question. On the one hand, the first two references are singular. The last reference is singular in the text, but plural in the Ketiv and Kri. You understand what I mean by the Ketiv and Kri? Sometimes the words are. So what happened here? See, here's the theory. Yonatan comes out into the field in full knowledge that he's got to find a way to meet with Shaul, with David. He's got to find a way to meet with David. So he shoots an arrow. As planned. Sends the nar to the arrow. I'm going to reread the psukim. Vayomer lena'aro, pasuk lamed vav. Vayomer lena'aro, rutz mitzana tachitzim asher enochi moreh. Go and find the arrows that I am going to shoot. How many arrows? Singular or plural?
Plural.
He says, in Pasuk Lamed Vav starts with a declaration of plural. Chitzim, correct? Banaratz. Vahu yara hachetzi la'aviro. And he shot the arrow past him. Singular or plural?
Singular.
Vayavoh ena ad makom hachetzi asher yara Yonatan. Vayikra Yonatan acharei anar. Vayomer halo achetzi mimcha vahala. He says to him, hey, Na'ar, the arrow is further than you. But wait a second. In the beginning of that pasuk, it says, that the Na'ar came to the place where the arrow was that Yonatan shot. So the Na'ar arrived at the location of the arrow in Pasuk Lamed Zayin, the first half of Lamed Zayin, and Yonatan calls out to him that the arrow is further than you. How could that be? And then again he calls out to him in Pasuk Lamed Chet, Vayikra Yonatan achrei anar mehera, chusha, al ta'amod, don't stand by, go quickly. Until Vayilaket na Yonatan tachitzim, he gathered the arrows. So how many arrows did he shoot?
Sounds like three.
Mm-hmm. So it sounds like three, except that with one difference. That instead of shooting all three and sending the Na'ar to find them, he shoots them one at a time.
Mm-hmm. But is it further each one that he's shooting?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So now he's modified the plan. So now it reads like this. I'm going to take my page because I need to work through the text. But now it reads like this. So follow along. Vayomer lenaro rutz mitzana chitzim, go and find the chitzim. Vahu pasuk, end of pasuk lamed vav. Vahu
I'm going to do this up here. Lamed Vav. Hu yara ha-chetzi. He shot the arrow. Le ha-aviro. Past. Past whom?
Past the first one.
Well, this is the first one. Oh. Past whom? And then the na'ar goes running. Vayavo ha-na'ar ad makom ha-chetzi asher yara Yonatan. So who's it past? It's past the na'ar. It's also past David, right? Because the na'ar is here. So he says to him, arrow number one lands here. And the na'ar goes to get it. Because he shot the arrow past him. Vayikra Yonatan for a second time, acharei na'ar. And he says, Hala achetzi mimcha va'ala. Oh, wait a second.
Further.
There's another one. Achetzi mimcha va'ala. And here's David watching, arrow one, watching arrow two, and hearing Yonatan call out, Vayikra, and saying to the na'ar, Mimcha va'ala, you've got the first one, but you don't have the second one. The second one's way well, you got to keep going. And then we get to Pasuk Lamed Chet. Okay, so that's Lamed Zayin. Vayikra, he calls out to him, and he says, Mimcha va'ala. And then we get to Lamed Chet. Vayikra Yonatan acharei na'ar. For a second time, he calls after him. And he says, Mehera chusha al ta'amod. Quickly, run, don't stand, don't stay, don't tarry. Who's that a message to? The na'ar?
No.
To
David. Is that not a message to David? The third one he shoots is a rocket. Way past. We're talking about Yonatan. Way past. It's like 3 miles out. And he says to the na'ar, quickly, go get the third one. And Yonatan, and this poor na'ar is watching this rocket, this arrow go, shoo. Want me to go there? That's like 12 miles out. He says, yeah, that's where I want you to go. Go get it. And the poor now is running half the day to go and get this third arrow, which is a rocket.
Could you do the three psukim again so I can see him in my text?
Lamed Vav starts. V'hu yera ha-chetzi leha-aviro. End of Lamed Vav.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Okay,
shot, that's arrow number one.
Right, okay.
Arrow number two, it doesn't say he shoots, but it tells us that Yonatan calls after him, and he says, Vayikra Yonatan acharei na'ar vayomer halo hachetzi mimcha va'ala. That's the second arrow.
Number two, okay.
And the third one is the next pasuk. Vayikra Yonatan acharei na'ar mehem achusha al ta'amod. It's the third
one.
Keep going. This is another one. And then Vayilaket Na'ar Yonatan et achitzim. And then Na'ar goes and he collects all the chitzim.
And it's in the not meantime, just that he's just shooting the arrows, but verbally.
Number one, there's a verbal. The verbal tells us two things. Number one, it tells us that he's changed the code. And the key is here. Me'eira chusha al ta'amod. This is a message to David that this situation is an emergency. This is not about go in peace, come back next week. This is about matzav chirum. This is an emergency. This is all the sirens are going off. Mehera chusha al tamod. You can't stay around here. You've got to run. That's a message to David as much as it's to the na'ar. And really all he wants to tell him is to run, but in the meantime he sets up the opportunity for them to meet. And I think it's intentional. By sending this na'ar on a goose chase, all the way out to Yupitzvil to gather the third arrow, he creates a window of, all he needs is 5 minutes, but it's enough of a window for David and Yonatan to meet in person before the na'ar comes back. They're going to meet in person, lech l'shalom, David's going to run, before the na'ar even comes back. There's nothing. Now it works very nicely, except for one problem.
Yes, when he sends the na'ar back.
Correct. It's in the text, David and Yonatan meet after the na'ar comes back with the arrows
and is sent away.
Because it says, and Yonatan gave the weapons to his lad.
Right. So now we've got to reread the last couple of psukim. Vanar lo yadam uma. Yonatan knows nothing. Ach, Yonatan and David yadu et hadavar. Vayiten Yonatan et hakilav el hanar shelo, he hands his kelim to the nar. Vayomer lo lech haveir, go and bring these to the city. And that's the end of the conversation between Na'ar and Shaul.
But that's to give
And Yonatan. Hana'ar ba, the Na'ar came. First of all, what should it should not have said Hana'ar ba. It should have said Hana'ar halach.
Yeah, he went.
Correct. Number one. Number two, ודוד קם אצל הנגב ויפול לאפיו ארצה וישתחו שלוש פעמים וישקו איש לתאהו ויבכו איש לתאהו עד דוד הגדיל. That whole מפגש, I'm arguing, I'm suggesting, actually took place earlier, before the Na'ar even came back. And yet in the text it appears
after.
So, אין מוקדם ומאוחר, no choice but to rearrange the sequence of events. But the truth is that it's not so terrible, because there are, if I read the text correctly, the text actually tells me that David and Yonatan meet before the Na'ar returns. But for that, we need to remind ourselves, a bit of a review of biblical grammar.
For me, it wouldn't be a review.
Right? Because biblical grammar has a very interesting use of past tense verbs. We've talked of this. Correct.
Future.
Past and past perfect. We've done this before.
Yes.
And it's consistent. In Tanakh, whenever Tanakh wants to convey an event that happens in the past tense in sequence, it employs a little trick that confuses a lot of us when we first learn to read biblical Hebrew, because it employs a future tense with a reversal vav ha'ipuch. So, for example, every verb in this story, take lamed bet, lamed gimel, lamed dalet, every verb, vaya'an Yonatan et Shaul, vayomer elav, vayato Shaul et achanit, vayeda Yonatan, vayakam Yonatan mi'al ha'shukhan. Okay. Almost every verb in those psukim is written in exactly the same format. Namely, the verbs are, if I took away the vav, the verbs are all second person future. Yochal means, or yomar means, he will say. Vayomer, he said. Ya'an, he will say. Vaya'an, he said. Yatel, he will take. Vayatel, he took. We call it the reversal of vav. Vavayipuch. It's standard, typical. Vayidaber Hashem o Moshe lemor. God spoke to Moshe. Yidaber means he will speak. Vayidaber, he spoke. Okay, it's the vav changes past tense to future and future to past. It works both ways. Haya means
was.
V'haya, it will be. V'haya im shamoa tishme'u. Yehi, it will be. V'ayehi, it was. V'ayehi b'mei HaChashverosh. V'ayehi b'mei Shvot HaShoftim. Standard biblical format. Now, there's another part of that, which is whenever that form of past tense is employed, the subject of the verb always follows the verb. Vayedaber Hashem, Vayomer Shaul, Vayeda Adam,
Vayomer Moshe.
Every place that form of the verb is found, Vav Hayipuch, Vayiv Yemeshvot HaShoftim, it's always followed by the subject of the verb. With me?
Yes.
That's all past tense. Torah has a very unique way of conveying past perfect tense. What does past perfect tense mean?
It's a long time.
Well, what is past perfect? Something which
he had.
Had happened. When we say had happened means before mm-hmm. something else. Okay? He went to the store. He had gone to the store. He went yesterday. He had gone the week before. Mm-hmm. With me?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. In Tanakh, past perfect tense is conveyed with two twists. Number one, the simple use of the verb, not the complex use of the verb. No past tense, no vav reversals. And secondly, the subject goes before the verb.
Subject goes before the verb. Is correct. That the past perfect?
Past perfect. In past perfect, what the change is two things. Number one, we use the simple form of the verb, no vav, ayipuch. And number two, the subject comes first. And there's some very famous examples. Rashi mentions this in the very first place it appears in Chumash, which is in Breishit.
But the simple verb could just have plain past meaning too.
No, not in Tanakh. Never.
Not in Tanakh.
Never. It's always past perfect. Uh-huh. It's because the simple verb is the vavayipuch. It's uh-huh. conveyed always. Take a look in the beginning of Breishit Perek Dalet. End of Perek Yomo, beginning of Perek Dalet. It's a very famous example. This is where Rashi quotes it. Rashi quotes it as a klal, as a rule. And it's a fairly consistent rule. There are some exceptions, but the exceptions are built around the rule. So it's hard to... But if you look at the end of Perek Yomo, ויאמר השם אלוקים אין האדם כי אחד ממנו לדעת טוב הרע ואתה פן ישלח ידו ולקח גם עץ מעץ החיים ואחר וחל לעולם וישלחהו השם אלוקים מגן עדן לעבוד את האדמה שלקח משם ויגרש את האדם וישכן מכתם לגן עדן את הכרובים ותלת החרב המתהפכת לשמור הדרך עץ החיים. Expulsion of man from Gan Eden. Okay? Simple, three psukim. Expulsion of man from Gan Eden. All the verbs. Vayomer Hashem Elokim. Past tense with a vav, reversal vav.
Sorry, I didn't catch what you were reading.
Right here. Subject there follows verb.
Yeah,
okay? Subject follows verb. Consistent. Vayomer Hashem. Pasuk of Gimel. Vayishalcheu Hashem Elokim. If we were to translate it literally, it would be He sent him. God.
Sent.
Right? He sent him. God. Meaning, God, being the subject of the verb, sent him, meaning Adam, forth. You follow? Vayishalcheu Hashem Elokim Megan Eden. Vayigaresh et Adam. Pasuk of Dalet. Vayigaresh et Adam. He expelled man. Who's the subject of that verb? God. So here's an example where the subject is not written in the text. Okay? The et Adam is the transitive subject of the verb, meaning he expelled man. So man is the subject predicate of the verb. He's the action upon whom the verb is taking place. But the subject of who's doing the action is God. Right? So the subject is missing in that case. But that is, it's called Loshon Katzar. Vayigaresh Hashem et Adam. You with me? Vayashken miketem legan Eden. He placed opposite Gan Eden, eastwards of Gan Eden, the Kruvim. Who's the he? Who's the subject of that verb?
Hashem.
So the subject doesn't have to be in the text to be the subject of the verb, but it's always understood that it can be inferred. It's Lashon Katzar. Pasuk Dalet. Ve'ha'adam yada et chava ishto. Now, careful how you translate that.
Could be past perfect.
Right. Ve'tahar v'telet et kain. She conceived and gave birth to Cain. Mm-hmm. Man knew his wife, meaning they had relations, and she conceived and had a child. This particular example is very powerful because it is the subject of an enormous polemic the subject, it's the source for the foundation of Christianity's view on sexuality. Namely, that man and woman do not begin to engage sexually until they are expelled from Gan Eden. But Rashi correctly points out that the text here is past perfect.
Adam had known his
correct.
Before he was thrown
correct.
Out of Gan Eden.
And that's exactly what Rashi says. Kvar kodem lachein.
So why is it always translated just as...
It's a completely incorrect translation. What is it, how is it translated here? It's incorrect. The art school, I think, has it correctly here. Had known. The tar vatelet ben, she conceived and had a child, the birth is after. And because the birth is after, the story is here. But to tell us that the moment of conception had been earlier, the text doesn't say vayeda adam et chava ishto, which would be the normal form. It says veha adam yada. I'll give you another example.
Actually, so why isn't it written the other way?
Because it is. That's how Tanakh does it. That is the standard form in Tanakh of conveying a past perfect tense. I'll give you another example, a little more obvious. Go back to Sefer Shmuel. This is an example also we've looked at before. Perek Chaf Hei. Shmuel Aleph Perek Chaf Hei. The Yamot. Everybody have it?
Yeah.
Beginning of Perek Chaf Hei.
357
on this one.
357.
It's the first
pasuk.
357.
Beginning of Perek Chaf Hei. Vayamot Shmuel, vayikavtzu kol Yisrael, vayispedu lo, vayikberu beveto berama, vayakom David, vayered el midbar Paran. Translate. The only thing I would caution you is that I actually don't translate the vavs as and, because when the vav is used as a grammar form, it's not a connecting word. It's not translated as and. It's part of the grammar of the verb. So, otherwise, every sentence in Tanakh begins with "and he said," "and he went," "and he did," "and." That's ridiculous. Vav hahipuch, this reversal vav, is part of the grammar of the root of the verb and not a translated. So, vayamot Shmuel means Shmuel died. Vayikbetzuko Yisrael, all of Israel. Gathered. Vayispedulo, they mourned him. They eulogized him. Vayikberu beveto, they buried him. Dead, eulogized, and buried. Can't get more dead than that. You'll forgive me. Okay? Look at the beginning of Perek Chaf Chet.
Three sixty-one.
61.
61.
61. 61. 61. Pasuk Gimel. Ushmuel met. Vayispedu lo ko Yisrael vayikberu berama be'iro. If I were to translate this the way we translated Vayadam yadat chava ishto, it would read Shmuel died. They eulogized, all of Israel eulogized him and buried him in Ramah. But we already said that. Which means that either Shmuel died twice, which is unlikely, or the correct translation here is Shmuel had died. The reference here is a repeat of the earlier story in order to explain why Shaul was left with a dilemma. Because he has this battle with the Plishtim about to happen on Har Gilboa. He doesn't know whether to go or not, and he has no Navi to whom to turn. Why? Because Shmuel had already died. Chapter 25. Ushmuel met. Shmuel had died.
Right.
It doesn't say Vayamot Shmuel. In Parakhav Hey, it says Vayamot Shmuel. Here it says Ushmuel
met.
That is the standard, that is the distinction between the two verb forms. Vayamot Shmuel means Shmuel died. Ushmuel met. Shmuel had died.
Had already occurred.
So what it does here is...
Well, we'll come back to what it does here in a second. Mm-hmm. Okay, we'll come back to it here in a second. I have time for one more example? Yeah, I have time for one more example. One of my favorites. One of my favorite examples, Rav Shimshon Rafal Hirsch points this out, is the story of Yaakov and Esav. How many, to borrow the colloquialism, quills have been broken over the ruse that Yaakov uses to steal the bracha from the birthright from Esav. He's hungry, he's exhausted, he comes in from the field, and he asks for some soup, and cruel Yaakov won't give him a morsel of bread until
he sells him his birthright,
correct?
Yeah.
Are you sure about that?
Okay.
Take a look at Parsha Vayishlach.
You'll see.
Now you understand. Where are we going? We're going to Parsha Vayishlach, back to Bereshit. No, sorry, not Vayishlach. Toldot. Which is... Okay.
Pasuk,
the end of Perek Chaf Hei. End of Perek Chaf Hei.
So it would be 27. Or beginning of 27, I guess.
Pasuk Chaf Tet. Start for Pasuk Chaf Tet.
So it's 27.
Watch all the verb forms. Every verb form that is in the format of future with a reversal vav followed by the subject of the verb means that things are happening in sequence. You with me? Pasuk Chaf Tet. Vayazed Yaakov Nazid. Yaakov. Just translate with me. Yaakov. You with me? Perek Chaf Hei. Breishit Perek Chaf Hei. Pasuk Chaf Tet.
Cook
the soup. Vayevo Esav min asadev u'ayef. Esav came from the field tired. Vayomer Esav el Yaakov. Esav said to Yaakov. No ends. Don't translate with ends. Ha'aliteni na min adom adom azek yayef anochi alken kvash mo'adom. Give me some of this red soup. Parenthetical aside, that's why he's called Edom. Vayomer Yaakov. Yaakov said to him, Michna chayomet b'chorat chali, sell me your birthright. Vayomer Esav. Esav said to him, Hine anochi olech lamut, lama lize b'chorah, I'm going to die. What do I need it for? Vayomer Yaakov Yishavali Kayom. Yaakov said, swear to me. Vayishavalo, he swore to him. Vayim Koret Bechorato Yaakov. Yeah, he sold his birthright to Yaakov. Next words. Vyakov Pasuk Lamed Daled. Vyakov Natan Le'esav Lechem Unezid Adashim. And every translation has this wrong. Every translation has Yaakov then gave the soup to Esav. But what it says is that Yaakov had given him, Esav, the bread and the nezid adashim. Vayochal, vayesht, vayakum, vayelach, vayivaz, esavata b'chara. He ate, he was satiated, he got up, he went, despised the birthright, didn't want it, didn't need it, meant nothing to him. But the act of giving the lechem and the nezid adashim to Esav is described as Yaakov natan, meaning had given it to Esav before.
Puts Yaakov in much better light.
It's not a better light. It's a fact.
Right, but I mean,
he didn't bribe him.
Why doesn't it translate that way?
It does if you read the if you read.
No, but I'm saying
I have no idea. But this is the subtlety of biblical grammar, and you have to notice it when it comes.
But there are intelligent people who make up the
text. And there are more intelligent people who write the text.
They're supposed to be right.
Yeah, well, not always. Now. We've discussed this. There's no such thing as a translation that's not a interpretation. So if your interpretation is preconceived, and so is your translation. Let's go back to our story. End of Parakhaf.
352.
Arrow 1. Arrow 2. Arrow 3. This is not a political, this is not a military description, right? This is a והנער לא ידע מאומה, אך יונתן ודוד ידעו את הדבר. It's not an accident that we go from arrow to David's sling. Anyway. ויתן יונתן את כליו על הנאה שלו. Yonatan gave the his equipment, his bow and arrow, to the Na'ar. Vayomer lo lech haveir, go and bring these back to the city. Hana'ar ba. The lad had come. V'David kam. And David had arisen. Me'etz la'negev. ויפול הפברצה וישתחו פעמיים וישקו את ישראל ויפקו ישראל ועד דוד הגדיל, etc, etc, etc. Meaning, the sequence of events, actually, if I were to put them into language that we understand, is that after Pasuk, in the middle of Pasuk Lamed Chet, Vayikra Yonatan Achrei Hanar, Meher Achusha Al Ta'amod, Vayilaket Na Yonatan At Achitzim. Middle of Pasuk Lamed Chet, Al Ta'amod. And the Na'ar is going out to collect his
Chitzim.
In the meantime, at this point, Vayakom David meetz eleven azel. Vayakom David, David got up. If we were writing this in sequence, you would say Vayakom David. Pasuk mem aleph. It doesn't actually say Vayakom David. It says Vadavid come. Had it been written in sequence, it would have said Vayakom David meetz el hanegev. Vayipol al pavarta. Vayishtacho shosh pamim. Vayishku ishut eyu. Vayifku ishut eyu. Adi David ikdil. Vayomer Yonatan, etc., etc. Ben zeru ben zecha ad olam. End of Pasuk Mem Bet. Now go back to Pasuk Lamed Chet. Ve'laket na Yonatan et hachitzim ve'yavo el Adonav ve'anar lo yada me'uma. The lad knew nothing. Knew nothing of what? Of the code? Or of the mifgash, of the meeting between David and Yonatan? Far more significant. Ach Yonatan ve'David yadu et hadavar. ויתן יונתן את הכליו ואת הנער ויאמר לו, הוי העיר. Now the Na'ar comes back. Shaul hands him his kelim. ויבוא העיר and sends him back to the city. But this mifgash takes place in the middle. So if that's the way it happened, why isn't that the way it's written? Right? So why isn't that the way it's written? So I think the answer lies in the Na'ar. The story with the arrows is written from the perspective of whom? The story of the arrows is written from the perspective of the Na'ar. The entire episode, the call of the of Shaul to the Na'ar, go, run, get, go further, go grab the arrows, then the Na'ar. The perspective here is Yonatan talking to the Na'ar,
yeah.
Tells him about the arrows, etc., and he comes back, and the story is the story of the conversation between Yonatan and the Na'ar, and is told, and we are focused on this Na'ar. The entire story is focused on this Na'ar. By the time, by which we finish the whole event, Al Tamod, Vayavo Na'ar, the Na'ar comes back, Vayiten lo Hakilim, he gives him the utensils, and he says, Lech Haveir, goes to the city. Venarba? Venarba is the previous piece. And that's it. And that's the end of the story. And I continue and finish the story of the Na'ar before shifting gears to the story of David and Yonatan. Why is that important?
Well,
why is it so critical to finish the story of the Na'ar?
Because he's a witness to nothing.
Because he's a witness to nothing. Is that what you said?
Yeah.
Excellent. It was very well put. Because he's a witness to nothing. Because Shaul needs this Na'ar for coverage.
Mm-hmm.
For cover. He needs the Na'ar to be able to go back.
Shaul doesn't need it. Yonatan.
Did I keep saying Shaul?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yonatan
needs this Na'ar for cover. Yonatan needs this Na'ar to be able to go back to the palace and for Shaul's guards to come to him and say,
Were you just out in the field? Yeah. Yes. With whom? With Yonatan. And? Did he meet with anybody else? No. Is he talking to anybody else? No. What did he do? Target practice. He's a little confused today. He kept missing. Mm-hmm. A little distraught.
Interesting.
Makes sense, right?
Yeah.
Right? Didn't eat for 2 days or for a day. You got it from the meal in a huff. Walked out when Shtarga practicing. Kept missing. Right? It all fits a pattern. It all works. Yeah. Shaul was happy. Yonatan. Shaul goes on his way. Yonatan goes on his way. It's all about the cover. It's all about the nar who lo yadai ma'uma, knew nothing. And he can go back to the city and say to Shaul, I was out in the field with Yonatan and he did nothing. He met nobody. We went target practicing. Mm-hmm. And then he goes back to the city. But in the meantime, when that third arrow went flying overhead all the way out into the next county, David and Yonatan had their moment. The David come had gotten up in the middle of the story. And had engaged with Shaul and with Yonatan, and Yonatan was able to say to him, "This is now a matzav chirum. This is an emergency. There's nowhere safe. There's nowhere for you to go. There's nowhere for you to hide. You can't stay. You can't go to Beit Lechem. You can't go to Be'er Sheva. This is far worse than anything we'd anticipated. Your father has declared you a state, an enemy of the state. You've committed treason. He's out to kill you. He's got the entire army out to kill you. You've got to run." And you've got to go quickly.
So one of these Mefarshim talks about that.
This is not in the Mefarshim. Oh, this is in I have this from Mehmedan, but it's based, I think, on a kind of combination of this of the Mefarshim. The Mefarshim talk about the casual meeting that they had because they saw there was nobody there. Mm-hmm. What I'm suggesting is that if I go back to the arrows, mm-hmm. 3 arrows versus 1 arrow, then you can actually see this in the text. And I think it makes a lot more sense in terms of why Yonatan insisted that they meet with this kind of urgency. This kind of urgency.
Urgency and cover.
Urgency and cover.
So, expected that somebody to keep an eye on Yonatan.
I think that's why he went to the Nar. I think that's what the Nar was there for. I think he took the Nar because he knew that he, at this point, Shaul would not let him go anywhere alone. All right.
We're gone 2 weeks. 2 weeks we're gone.